May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. Isaiah is the most often quoted prophet by Jesus' early followers, receiving the honor of being called the fifth gospel over the centuries that followed this week's events. Today, we bear witness to the first of the servant songs in the book of Isaiah, the hymns that typified the sort of life that Jesus lived and the sort of death that he would die. We miss something important when we believe that these are simply predictions about the coming of Jesus Christ. To think of them as mere fortune-telling has the unintended effect of cheapening the longing behind those words. The depth and breadth of the grief, sorrow, and hard-edged hope of the people who wrote and passed them down, tossed to and fro as they were by the ever-changing politics of that conflict-ridden place now known as the Middle East. The truth is that Isaiah's vision is cosmic in scope. The servant songs are the stuff of legend. Generations upon generations longed for a savior, a chosen one, in whom the Lord delights. Generations upon generations had, on more than one occasion, seen one rise up in their midst who fit the mold and looked the part. While often referring to real life events, concrete circumstances happening during a particular moment in history, it is part of Isaiah's strangeness that these songs remain legendary, able to speak to people across time when present needs often call for urgency and action. We, creatures of the ever-present now, do not want ambiguous hope or dreams deferred, however. We need a savior now. We need rescue now. We want a new world and the passing of the old one now. Messiahs have come and gone before. You can imagine someone in the crowd asking as Jesus is walking into Jerusalem, is it worth getting our hopes up about this guy? Some did hope. Some followed with wild abandon. Little did they know that the rescue they were hoping for would seem to come to an abrupt end on Calvary Hill. Little did they know how they would betray him. Little did they know how the mob would turn a blind eye to the humiliation and cruelty to which the Son of God and Son of Mary was subjected. We have not entered into the mystery of Christ's death just yet. Today, we are sitting in the calm before the storm. That moment when the Hosanna still lingered in the throats of the faithful. And yet we know that he will not escape this week unscathed. The truth of the matter is that we are just as likely to give up hope as anyone in that crowd over 2,000 years ago. Our courage is not all it's cracked up to be. Deep down, we know that fear tends to get the best of us. And who can blame those crowds? Who can blame us? This world is a hard place. We have put our hope in messiahs, and we have found them lacking. At the end of the day, we are like those reeds in the song, maybe not yet broken, but surely bruised and withered by wind and wave, trying our best to keep hope alive in a hopeless and unforgiving place. But there is a glimmer of hope here, my friends. A bruised reed he will not break, a dimly burning wick he will not quench. In the face of our failures, God remains faithful. The walk to Calvary Hill each year isn't simply a reminder of humanity's betrayals. It is a reminder of God's steadfast love in the face of them. So we bring our dimly burning wicks to this table, and we look for help from the true source, the one in whom all things live and breathe and find their being. We look to the Messiah, whose message is love and whose way is justice. We watch him bear the brunt of our shame. We observe him step into our darkest night. And from there, from that point of no return, from that place where our deepest hurt, our powerlessness, our greatest regrets are most concentrated, from that place, a new hope is born. Friends, during this week, which we know as the celebration of the Passion, that slow walk to the old rugged cross with Jesus as he suffers his friends' abandonment and the mockery of the crowds, we sit with the servant songs, wandering alongside generations upon generations of people of the way as to the true nature of this man, the chosen one, in whom the Lord delights. We take comfort in his steady, ever-present love, the kind of love that remains strong until the very end. This is the kind of love that is the true balm of Gilead, the only love capable of breaking the bonds that bind. Jesus is the one who takes our dimly burning wicks and makes of them a lighthouse, a hope that shines bright, even in the darkest night. Amen.